Welcome back, everyone. It is the Me Too Talk podcast. And yes, it is the Truth Serum series, where we promise to tell you the truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
You all, we've got a good juicy episode for you today. And we're going to drop some knowledge. We're going to drop some truth. And guess what? We are going to work through this together, okay?
It's funny how the truth is always juicy.
It is, because it just sets you free.
I was just about to say it. Dang, I was trying to hurry up and say it before you said it. But you beat me to it. But it's cool, it's cool. Yes, the truth shall set you free.
Yes, it will. And you guys, we want to first let you know that you can follow us and get some more truth anytime you'd like by following us on Instagram at MeTooWeLoves. Or you can make sure that you can send us an email whenever you're going through something. Whenever you need some advice, or if you want some truth, make sure you send us an email at info@metoowetalk.com. Again, that is info@metoowetalk.com, and I promise you, we will respond, okay?
Amen, amen. So let's get to this truth telling today, my dear.
Well, I mean, sometimes you go through things in life, and you got to pretend, or you got to work through.
Right.
A different circumstance.
Correct. That is why today's episode is promptly entitled Love Like You've Never Been Hurt Before, which just so happens to be a book by Jensen Franklin as well.
Love Like You've Never Been Hurt Before.
It's not possible. Because it's like, how can I love like I've never been hurt? But if I've been hurt, I'm not going to get back to that same love. It's like, you don't want to get to that same level again because you're going to get hurt again. Like, I can talk all around this.
Well, you know what? I think this is so good because my husband brought this to us for this episode. I think it's because there's an apprehension you feel. You know, it's just like if you put your hand out and you get hit, right? And you're like, oh. And so every time you go to put your hand out, it's almost like that game. You guys remember that game where you put your hands over the other person and you're just in hesitation because you're afraid they're gonna hit your hand again. They've already smacked it one good time. You like whack, you know, like, and then so you're like, oh no, I don't want to do it again, because if I do it, I'm gonna get hurt.
And actually, it's actually kind of cool you bring up that game, because basically you're telling yourself, well, I'm quick enough to pull my hands away from the pain, right, out the fire. So you're saying like, I can do this because I'm so quick. Like, I can love you like I've never been hurt before because I know I'm not gonna let it happen again. And so what happens? You get hit. So yep. It does happen again. And then what do you do?
Yeah, you become resentful, you know? And that's just being direct and honest with ourselves, right? Because, you know, nobody wants to be or even admit to be, you know, resentful, right? Okay, because you were like, oh no, I don't do that. I don't think about that. I'm so good. It's like, I don't really get there. You know, I love everybody and I forgive everybody, right? And the truth of the matter is, and I love this quote. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this before, but it says, resentment is the poison you feed yourself hoping someone else will die.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang. So it's not to an extent of lying to yourself, but you're making up false narratives in your own mind.
Yeah, it's like you're hoping that they're going to feel the pain you're feeling, but you're really killing yourself, you know? And I had to really realize this myself because, you know, for the most part, especially when it comes to my husband, oh my goodness, I could forgive him all day. First of all, he's dreamy. I love him. We've been through things together. And I feel like we can get past it, you know, and that we can work past it. And when he says sorry to me, it does something to me. It just makes me go, okay, all right, we're free. We can let this go. We can move on, right?
And that's a very good point. Hence why I always say sorry. But I don't say it quick enough, in my opinion. Like, for some reason, it takes me a while to, like, get there. And it's because I overthink the room. Huh. Especially when it comes to you, like, because in my mind, like, well, she's not going to believe, like, this first sorry, so let me let it build up, and then I'll be like, Rhonda.
Oh, okay.
Your boy is sorry.
Yeah.
Especially if you're apologizing for the same thing you've done more than one time, more than two times, more than three times.
More than.
Come on. How can I expect you to believe my sorry? And the fact that you do, it overjoys me. It does come from a sincere place when I say it. Because I just don't want to throw that word around, because I need you to know that I am sorry in that moment.
Yeah.
So I greatly appreciate the fact that you're, I don't want to say you're the bigger person, but I appreciate the fact that you're open to taking my sorry.
Yeah. You know what? You know, I see when you do your movie sorries, when you be like, Rhonda, and then you give me the eyes and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, it's the fact that you came to say sorry. And then I feel like it's like it closes the chapter. It does something for me. Now, where I will have a problem is if there is not an apology. And I want to be honest, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, you have to get past it, you got to move past it. But something about I'm sorry does something for me. It makes me realize, okay, you are acknowledging what I'm feeling. There's some type of acknowledgement of how I felt, and you've decided to be a better person, right?
Yes.
But if you argue my, you know, argue it down, and it's like you're not taking my feelings into consideration, right?
Correct.
But did you know we still have to forgive whether they apologize or not?
Correct. Because it all goes back to empathy, which we've talked about on numerous episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have to empathize with the fact of how I made you feel and be willing to say I'm sorry, versus saying something to the effect of, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Yeah, because you know what it is? Sometimes you get sick of hearing sorry. There's certain people I don't want to hear sorry from. I'm like, you always sorry. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, you a sorry individual. You know what I'm saying? Like, that will go in my head. And again, we're speaking truth, because I know you all are just so holy, right? Y'all never feel this way. Well, I'm just being honest. I feel certain people I just don't want to hear sorry from, because they've done it so much. You're like, oh my God, here you go again. But it brings me back to in Matthew. In the book of Matthew 18:21-22, you guys are going to love this, right? It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Wow.
He said up until, right? Like, I'm not saying you could go further.
Yeah.
But 70 times seven, honey, quick math, help me.
70 times 7 is 490.
490 times. So 490 times in a day, you're supposed to forgive your brother or your friend or your family that has done this.
And that's the minimum. That's not to say it won't be even more.
Right. Okay. In the day. And it may be for the same thing.
Right.
And I said, Lord, that's such a tough order. You know, because, you know, if you do something over and over, like if somebody does something over and over again, the initial reaction is to be like, you know what? I'm done with you, you know?
Correct.
And it's easy to do. And I want you all to understand there's a difference between cutting someone off and creating intentional space. Now, we'll talk about that in a moment. But I want you all to understand something. 70 times 7. Yes, Lord, that's a tall order. It is. But is it achievable? Can it be done? Absolutely, unequivocally, yes, it can be done. Okay? It
comes from a grace place.
Yeah, it comes from the grace place. And it's something that God has done for us over and over again. Because I think of all the times I've made mistakes, how many times I've fallen and I've hit in the ground, how many times I have made a mistake and I knew I was going to make that same mistake again. And I apologized to the Lord and said, Lord, if you get me out of this one, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, I find myself doing it again. I said, okay, I'm going to get better next time. But I'm still running into that same point.
Great.
And so it's like, how can God do that for us? You know, how could he sacrifice so much for us, endure such pain, and then say to them, forgive them, for they know not what they do?
Wow.
And I'm like, God, how did you do that? Like,
right.
How can you do that? How can you just endure that, move past that, and say, they know not what they do? I don't know. My mind... Oh, I just got it. I know what it was.
I'm listening.
It's just like it is in the Bible when it says obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
Right? Now, God has sacrificed so much. I think that is just obvious. Okay? But obedience, he was obedient to the call of forgiveness.
Correct.
Right? And so it made it meaningful, his sacrifice. It's like, man, I get it. I totally get it. I'm just trying to figure out, how do I do it?
I was
to
say that. I get what you're saying, Lord. Now, how do I apply it to my everyday life?
Right. And I'm like, wow, Lord, can I just be carnal in this moment? Can I?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, sometimes I'm like, Lord, but should I forgive them when they know what they do? You know what I'm saying? When they knew what they was doing, Lord, they knew they were wrong, right? But then he's saying, but yeah, you knew you were wrong and I forgave you and I haven't thought about it. I didn't put it in your face. I loved you and gave you the mercy that you didn't deserve.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, it's like every time we speak, I get new knowledge. And like, I really, you know how I always tell you, right? I've never told a lie.
Yeah.
And I tend to believe it, because, you know, we believe the lies we tell ourselves.
And our false narratives, right?
Right. And as you're saying this, I'm realizing how much I've really lied to God from the standpoint of promising him something and always breaking that promise. Like how you were saying, you constantly ask for the forgiveness for the same thing over and over and continually do it. And he constantly forgives me. Oh, and I never really thought about that. And it's like blowing my mind right now. It like so much, I feel like I want to cry because I hurt his feelings.
Oh, it's so deep.
No, it's just so deep.
Beautiful to say. It's deep. Yeah, and you think about that. You know, how many tears has the Lord shed for us? How much blood did he shed for us? You know, like how much? How much did he give? He gave his only begotten son, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot to give up for people that you know are going to do it again.
I'm telling you, you got me over here thinking. Like, I'm about to be out here forgiving everybody. Like, like I said, I forgave my brother, but I got to put action behind that.
Yeah.
Like, I got to really show that man, like, I love him.
Yeah.
Because I do say it still, but I haven't shown it enough.
Well, you know, forgiveness is a choice.
Yeah.
You know, you can choose to hold on to it or you can choose to let it go. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I have been there. I have been in what we call scandalon. I mean, do you guys know what scandalon means? I will definitely tell you. My pastor brought this to my attention, and I can never get it out of my head. But, you know, it means, and it's in the Bible, and it's in Hebrew, and it means stumbling block, okay? Mm-hmm. And it means a snare for an enemy. You know, it's a cause for moral stumbling. Mm-hmm. And so what it is it's supposed to throw you off track so that you will fall into sin. And, you know, you know, when you fall into sin, people think like it's this huge, huge thing you've done. When actually sin is just missing the mark, you know?
Just a little bit.
Just by just a little bit. Just missing the target just by a little bit, right? It's missing the mark, right? And so knowing that an offense is what causes you to go into scandalon. And just remember, like, the Bible's always said it, you know, it is impossible that offenses will not come.
Facts.
But he also says this, and people don't pay attention to this part, but woe unto them through they come, right? Mm-hmm. And what that means is this, like, okay, you don't want to be the one that has brought the offense. You don't want to be the person that's done it. I don't think you realize what type of, you know, retribution you will get. It says betrayals are inevitable. And this is another version. This is the Passion Translation. It says betrayals are inevitable, but great devastation will come to the one guilty of betraying others. Mm. So if you hurt someone, you know, there's always something you're going to feel. And a lot of times when you've been hurt by someone, you want to see them hurt back.
Correct.
You want to be there and watch it. And if you say you don't, you a lie and the truth ain't in you, okay?
Correct.
Sometimes you want to see them go through something. And just be honest, you know, you are a little petty and you want to see it happen. But the truth of the matter is when someone does something to you, when someone has hurt you or offended you, they do suffer, right? And it's not something that you should want to watch. You shouldn't want to watch the demise of somebody else. Now, I'm not saying that we haven't felt that way, that we haven't gotten those weak moments where we do. But, you know, sometimes it causes a thought in their minds like, you know, if you leave and you don't want to talk to that person anymore, they're always thinking to themselves, why do people always leave me? Or why am I always in this situation? Or, okay, here we go again. They don't even recognize that they're creating this natural reaction of hurt within themselves, and then they end up hurting you, right? Mm. And we all have done it. We have all often played the victim and the foe. You know, we switch. We tap dance. We hopscotch with it. We do some double dutch with it. We literally do it. We all have played that part.
Right.
So it's fair to say that I've been in your shoes before. So if I can be recognized that I've been in your shoes before,
yes,
I can't be as judgmental as I would like to be.
Facts. That's why the statement is always true. Walk a mile in my shoes.
That's right. Walk a long mile.
Yeah.
And don't wear no stilettos. I'm sorry. But, special. You know, anyway. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that sometimes it's very difficult to get past that. It's very difficult to get over that hurt, that unforgiveness, you know?
Like, but,
you know.
But why? If you say you can forgive, like how you forgive me so easily, why are certain things so unforgivable? I guess you can, if you want to use those terms.
I would say the truth of the matter is because you don't want to forgive. Mm. You like the feeling of that person being wrong and you being right. That's the truth. You know, you want to kind of, you know, You want them to suffer a little bit.
Hurt people, hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Hurt people, hurt people. So it's hard, and you're like, no, I feel like if I forgive them after what they've done to me, I let them off the hook too easy. Right? It's like it almost absolved them for everything they did. And it's like, where is the retribution for what you did to me, the hurt you did to me? And literally, I just heard this in my mind, and God just says to me, but vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not up to us to do it. It's not up to me to put out vengeance. It's not. But sometimes, I'm being honest, I have wanted to.
Right.
Okay? But, you know, nobody will tell you that, hey, that's not the right way to think. They go, oh, they say it in words, but in actions, they don't always line up.
Okay.
You know? So I want to give you guys a couple things that, you know, I think will really help you, okay? But you have to first, you know, be honest with yourself through this whole process, okay?
Yes.
So the first thing I would tell you is that it's really important that now that this person has offended you, has hurt you, right? And I'm going to lay it all the way out. You love this person, right?
Right.
You think the world of them. You think that they love you, that you're inseparable. Nothing will ever come between you. And let's be honest, you let your guard down, right?
Correct.
You were vulnerable. And you're upset that you were vulnerable. And guess what? That's when the blow hits the hardest. That's when that blow of betrayal hits you so hard it takes your breath away. And you don't know how to react, right?
Right.
You clench up and you're upset. This is what you got to do next, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to be honest and you have to say to yourself, forgiveness is giving up all hope of a better past, okay?
Okay.
What that means is they've done it. There's nothing you can do about that. It's happened. It is what it is. But what are we going to do going forward?
Correct.
Okay? And that leads me to number two. You're going to create boundaries, right? You're going to create a standpoint where you say, this is how I must be treated if we're going to be in this space together.
Right.
If we're going to be in this marriage, if we're going to be in this engagement, if we're going to be in this friendship, if you're going to stay in my family, right? I'm going to need these things, okay? I'm going to need you to respect me enough not to step over this, okay?
Facts.
All right? Now, after you've done that, you created boundaries, then this is when you say this, I got to stay in the present tense. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Say that twice.
I gotta stay in the present tense.
Correct.
I gotta stay in the present tense. I said it three times.
Three times a charm.
Yes, it is. Right. Because you know what it is that you can easily get trapped in what happened in the past.
Correct.
And you can just fall in love with it. You know, you can backstroke in it because you're like, well, you did this, you did that, you hurt me, you did this, and you want to just replay it. And it's like you're almost like a hamster on the wheel running and running. You're never going anywhere, but you are stuck in whatever happened in the past and you absolutely can't move forward.
Correct.
So you got to work in the present.
Yes.
And you got to be honest with yourself, okay? This person might do this offense again, okay? I might be in the situation again.
You're right.
Okay, but I'm going to love them like I've never been hurt before.
Yes, say it again.
I'm going to love them like I've never been hurt before. And I'm going to say, you know what? We're going to get through this. And I'm going to jump off that hamster wheel and I'm going to move forward and leave whatever happened in the past and look forward to my future. Okay?
I agree.
That sound good?
Hands down. I'm liking what you're putting down.
Thank you. I like that. Okay. And then the next thing I would say to you is to let go and let God. Okay. Now, this is when you have to say, can I really let this go? Can I really be done with this?
Right.
And, you know, and this is soul searching. You know, can you be around this person and not be triggered? Okay. This is when you know you have forgiven this person. Right?
Right.
You know, when you don't feel triggered by them when you're in their presence. And it's okay if you look at them and you say, you know what? I'm not ready right now. I'm not ready to deal with this. And this is what I mean about having intentional space. It's better for you to have create intentional space and then rejoin this person and be able and to be in a state of mind where you can forgive than for you to stay with that person in a strained relationship
right.
where you are continually recounting the offenses, you know? You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying you're staying with that person, and you're basically, whether you know it or not, you're creating that voided space because you're not even really giving them what they need as either a friend, a lover, a husband, a wife.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just there, mm-hmm. and you're not even existing within that relationship anymore.
Yeah.
Versus stepping away and coming back to it and knowing that it can be better.
It can. It can 100% be better. But if you need a little space, you can do it. It's so funny. My pastor said this many years ago, and this has always stuck in my head. He said, you can forgive them, but you ain't got to go out to dinner with them, right? And like, you don't have to invite them over to your house. You don't have to have dinner with them. And that just stuck in my head. And it's like, you can have intentional space and forgive somebody. You can say, I love you, but I got to love you from a distance, okay? Because right now, I can't trust that you won't hurt me, but I'm going to trust that I'm going to forgive you for it. Okay.
Right. Hey, until we meet again. That's all it is. Yeah. Like, it's not to say it won't happen again. It's until we meet again. That's all.
Right. You know, and so I think that that's okay. But, you know, you do need to make sure you have resolution. Now, this is what my husband gets on me about all of
yes, that. All oh, the my- time. I tell her all the time, people, I've been that guy who's been left hanging. And that is not a good feeling to have.
Whether okay, it be from elaborate. A friend, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, either from a friend where I would call, I would blow up the spot, and he wouldn't get back at me, and I'd be like, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, that, it leaves your imagination to running. Mm-hmm. Or even with a girlfriend, like when I was a younger kid, mm-hmm. like, she literally dumped me by not calling me anymore or picking up my phone call. Like, I didn't even know we broke up. Like, I was hitting her up. And I would have rolled down on her if she ain't lived so far away. Sure, what's going on? I need closure.
Yep, that's my husband. He's so right. He gets on me about that. Now, that part I do need help with. You're going to have to help me with it. You're going to pray on with
come on
me
now.
About that?
Heavenly Father.
Oh, right amen. Now. Oh, you're doing it now.
No,
Jesus. Okay. But it's the truth, you know, like, you know, people do need closure. But I also do believe sometimes if you know how you can be, I'm just being honest with myself. Sometimes I know that I might say something reckless that I'm not going to mean in that moment, you right. know, that like maybe I meant in that moment, but I won't mean later.
Correct.
So I
you need and your feelings.
Yeah. I need a little bit of space so that I am reflective in my conversation, that I'm really thinking about the words I say, because I recognize words have power. I really do. And I want to make sure I don't put something in the atmosphere that the enemy can pick up and grab and use for later.
That's facts. You know? You can't take words back.
You can't. They can be verbal javelins and they can go right through the heart. And that is not my intention, but I recognize that that is honestly a weakness, you know, or an opportunity for right. me to be better, is that I go for the jugular when it's not necessary. You know, sometimes you just got to say how you feel and what's bothering you.
Correct.
But because I know that this is a tendency I may have in the midst of anger, and again, I know y'all are so holy and y'all don't go through this, right? But since I know I'm like that, I have to take a step back.
Two steps forward.
In order to make even one step forward sometimes. You know, I'm just being real.
That's right. No, I agree with your process.
Right. So it's either that. That's either one reason why I may just like, you know, just cease and stop speaking. The other reason is because I have been, in my opinion, mortally wounded. You know, it's when it hurts so bad that I can't talk about it, you know? And so I have to kind of weigh out, which one is it? Lord, help me. Let me get past this. Help me. And then that's when I'm looking to him to help me get the words together so I can get it off my chest and move forward.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think because of the fact you're pregnant, it's even like heightened even more? Like, the way you are?
Yeah, I think that normally, you guys, we have in our Prep for Marriage class, we have our mentor, her name is Elder Natalie Watts, and we call her Miss Person Natalie, right? And she talks about the four personalities, and they're based in colors, and there's the red for the choleric, there is blue for the melancholy,
right?
There's green for the phlegmatic, and then there's yellow for the sanguine, okay? Mm-hmm. And the red and the blue, the red is a very, you know, type A personality, right?
Right.
That's me, okay? Then there's blue, which is the other side of my personality. And they're very, I would say, methodical. They think things through. They measure twice, cut once, right. You know. I would say during my pregnancy, I'm a blue. You know, I'm for real. Mm-hmm. But then normal, every day without pregnancy, I'm red. You right. know what I'm saying? And I find myself taking my time and I'm processing, and then sometimes I'm over processing.
Correct.
You know,
I get that.
Did okay. You, like that self reflection.
That is. That's. Hey, wasn't that one of your things? You gotta don't lie to yourself, people.
I do not.
Come on now.
I do not lie to myself, because if you lie to yourself, come on now, then the world, the rest of the world is just going to get over on you every day. But I think my number one goal coming out of this, and you tell me if you're in agreement with me, is forgiveness is, you know, not keeping score, but starting to lose count.
Facts. Facts. Because you have to be able to forgive and forget. Mm-hmm. Like you say, forgive, forget, and let God. Because mm-hmm. what's going to happen is what's going to happen. What's going to be, what's going to be. And it's up to you, the people you choose to let into your life, or the people you choose to kind of let out of your life.
Right.
And hopefully you have more of those first ones than those second ones. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm keeping score on. Like, who's left? Like, how many do I have?
I just want you all to know, my husband is chastising me with this episode. He's like, we're going to get through some things. And like I said, I don't know what it is, but for him, I could just forgive him so easily. But there are certain people where I'm just like, nope. And so you all, please pray for me, because God knows I need it. I know you all are so much better than me, and that you don't do these. You don't have these weaknesses or these opportunities for improvement. But please tell us if you did. And we want to encourage you all and let you all know that things can get better, okay? Somebody may have hurt you, someone that's close to you, someone that you just said, oh my goodness, I can't get over this. But I want to tell you one thing is this. I remember my father, he was... I would say it was back in the 80s or so, and I was a little girl, and I remember he was standing over the grave of my grandfather, okay, and he was being lowered into the ground as they were preparing him for burial for him to cover the coffin.
Right.
And I remember looking at my dad, and he was holding onto his hands really, really hard. He was angry, and I was looking at it. I could sense he was angry. And then I remember saying to my mom, I was like, Mommy, why is Daddy so mad? And then she said, because he had things he needed to say he never got a chance to say. And I thought about that as I grew older. And it always comes in my mind when I get to a point where I feel like I can't forgive somebody, or I just get there. I look at that my father was standing there angry, you know, but my grandfather was moved on. You know, and, right. and that's what happens. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for you, so right. that you can release from it. So I'm encouraging you all. Somebody may have hurt you. Somebody may have offended you. Somebody did something that mortally wounded you. But guess what? Forgiveness is there for you.
Yes.
You hear me? There's so much opportunity in forgiveness. So I'm just asking you all, open up to joy. Let it go and let God, and we'll do it together, because there's freedom. Freedom is what you do with what has been done to you.
Mm.
Okay?
Come on now.
Oh, don't you y'all gonna get me started.
I'm preaching
today. All right, you guys, we just want to tell you thank you so much for listening to the Meter We Talk podcast. And just so you all know, we were the best relationship podcast of 2020.
Yes,
voted
yes.
by the Black Pod Awards. So we'll be telling you guys a little bit more about that. But thank you so much for being a part of that vote and for listening. And all I want to tell you is this. Thank you so much for letting us tell you the truth.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for letting us tell you the whole truth.
And thank you, thank you, thank you for letting us tell you nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
Thank you all, and we'll see you next time.